News with Nick, starting off the show with another stolen clip from YouTube. All you do is go opening news music, and then you play the first thing you see because it's like the grocery store. Why would you want to look at prices of your opening bumpers? Okay, October. Oh, here we go again. Start off with a drink of espresso D, if you know what I mean. I'm not sure what that even means, but I wish that I woke up with a D and an espresso every morning. Anyway, 6:04 a.m. coming to you live at December 3rd, 2015. Actually, I forgot to hit record on the stream. I did not forget to record on the audio thing, so I'm going to do this. Okay. Hello, live video viewers. This is News with Nick, and let's do the intro again real quick. Oopsies. Let's do the intro again. News with Nick, December 3rd, 2015, and you, I had to redo the intro because I want to make a recording of the video version of the show so that we can test post it and see what that ends up looking like. I am real bumpity. Like, I'm looking at the stream, and I'm really not that smooth at all. Interesting. Anyway, trying to see how easy it is to actually make a recording and post it on YouTube. Like we were talking about on previous PCLs, where people should just be posting their YouTube vids. They shouldn't even care about radio. Who cares about that? All right, getting into the news today. I wasn't going to do a show, but then yesterday ISIS was like, you know, I'd really like Nick to do a news show, guys. Please do a shooting. Thank you. I'm ISIS, and I'm a big News with Nick fan, and he doesn't do things until we do big shootings. Actually, there's no evidence this was ISIS. At 10:59 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, otherwise known as 2 p.m. Eastern, on December 2nd, which is yesterday, a mass shooting occurred at the Inland Regional Center in San Bernardino, California, with 14 dead and 18 injured. The shooters reportedly targeted a party for employees. A party for employees of the San Bernardino County Department of Public Health. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm at this. I'm going to get this picture for you video version people. Guess I'll get this off the screen and we'll go over to another scene. They reportedly targeted a party for employees held in an auditorium with at least 100 people, and the shooters then fled in an SUV. Two perpetrators, husband and wife, Saeed Farouk and Tashfeen Malik, were killed by police officers after gunfire was exchanged with occupants of the SUV. A third suspect was detained after running from the scene. One of the suspects involved in the shooting had attended the party. All right, let's look up Tashfeen Malik. Looking for pictures of Tashfeen Malik here. Cannot find any. This is a picture of a kid. Pretty sure that's not Tashfeen Malik, the wife. Let me look up Saeed Farouk. Here's Saeed Farouk. Why is there no pictures of his wife? Is it because they're Muslim and there's no way that a picture of a Muslim person could be taken? Muslim woman? The chat says, you can count on a news with Nick when more than two people get shot. Yeah, I know. So I was reading the news. I was looking at the news, and I was like, oh, no. I have to get up early again? This sucks. Whatever. Okay, so two perpetrators were killed, and a third suspect is detained. And we don't know who that is right now. Okay, Saeed Farouk, an inspector for the San Bernardino County Department of Public Health, though meaning he worked for the department, of the government department was reportedly in attendance at the department's Christmas party. Co-workers reported that he had been quiet during the early parts of the event and noticed he had left the party before a group photo was taken. There were some reports that an argument occurred before his departure. A short time later, the two perpetrators wearing ski masks and camouflage opened fire on the partygoers. Witnesses allegedly recognized Farouk as one of the shooters by his voice and build. He had brought his Minecraft build in. He's like, guys, look at this Minecraft build. And they're like, man, that really looks like Saeed's Minecraft build. Not funny. Officials stressed that the attack was almost certainly not a reaction to this alleged argument and it was planned in advance. Oh, yeah. How could it possibly be? Like, oh, man. Hey, Malik. What's her wife's name? Fahud? sorry, Tashfeen. Tashfeen. Hey, Tashfeen. I just got in an argument. We need to go down to the bomb and shirt store. The armor store and the AR-15 store. And then we're going to come back. Okay, at 11:14 a.m., the fire department posted on Twitter about an emergency at the 1300 block, blah, 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 with police working to clear the scene. Roads in the area were closed to traffic. Police and SWAT teams surrounded the building as people were being evacuated. Police remotely detonated an unidentified device found at the scene and used a battering ram to get into the complex. The FBI and the police department counterterrorism unit were called into action. Police were on the lookout for a black SUV used by the perpetrators to flee the scene. So we don't have many, we don't have much information on this in general. Basically, we know at least two people came into a building with army vests and guns, started shooting. We don't know what door they went through. This thing's going to start playing. Nope, saved it.
The promise of the cloud.
Help keep people safe. And to us, that feels really good.
That was ridiculously bad. I'm going to have to edit that out. That was extremely embarrassing. I didn't even know where that was coming from.
People that are wounded. Initial information was 14. That number is now 17. That is wounded. I don't know the status of the wounded in terms of numbers that are serious or critical or what that is at this point. And then afterwards, we had an investigation. One of the tips that we were following up on took us to a house in Redlands where we made contact with a suspect vehicle that we were looking for. That resulted in a pursuit, which ultimately came back into the city of San Bernardino.
Okay, so it sounds like they attacked the place. Someone said, oh, that sounded like Fahid and Tashfeen. And the police were like, well, where does he live? And they were like, I don't know. It's this house. No, I don't know. It's this house. Okay, so I did know. Anyway, so they go to this house. That leads them on a police chase with the SUV. Let's find out what happens.
San Bernardino, and on San Bernardino Avenue between Richardson and Mountain View Avenue, that pursuit terminated. There was an officer involved shooting. Last count, I've been told that we had 20 or 21 officers that were involved in that gun battle with the suspects. The two suspects that were in that car are both deceased, and I have their names. First one is...
Goodness, it's a good thing that... It's a good thing that it wasn't just any random black SUV or just some, like, black guy running away from the cops. It's a good thing it was actually the shooters, right? And they opened fire with all of the bullets that they had.
It's been identified as Saeed, S-Y-E-D, Rizwan, R-I-Z-W-A-N, Lasta Farouk, F-A-R-O-O-K. He is 28 years old. I am told that he is U.S. born. The person that was with him is a female. She is deceased as well.
By the way, this is amazing that we have a female shooter. It's never happened before that I know of. I'm sure it's happened before, but this is like, this is kind of uncharted.
Her name is Tashfeen, T-A-S-H-F-E-E-N, last of Malik, M-A-L-I-K. She is 27 years old. I do not have any additional information on where she is from at this point. This was a meeting, Christmas party type event that was taking place with San Bernardino County employees at the Inland Regional Center. Mr. Farouk is a county employee. He works with his title as an environmental specialist in the public health department.
Boring. Can we find out about the third suspect?
Department has been employed there for 5 years. He was at the party. He did leave the party early under some circumstances that were described as angry or something of that nature. That is the information that we were following up on when we encountered him back near this residence.
All right, I'm gonna pull this up. Let's see. Third suspect detained. San Bernardino shooting. Third suspect detained. At least 14 killed. The latest on the mass shooting at a social services facility.
Reports on the deadly police.
San Bernardino County. The suspect in the Southern California shooting that left 14 dead and returned with a wife. What? Oh, traveled to Saudi Arabia earlier this year. Oh, he is ISIS. Wait, is ISIS in Saudi Arabia? I don't even think it is. Let's see. Let's see. Blah, 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 blah. I need to find third. Two suspects dead. They had assault-style clothing, assault rifles, and handguns. Police are investigating the possible explosive devices. A third suspect has been detained. They keep not talking about this third suspect. This is really getting annoying to me. San Bernardino shooting. Police say two suspects dead, possible third in custody. Police said at a news conference that two suspects in the San Bernardino shooting, one male, one female, dead, that a third possible suspect is in custody. The two dead suspects were killed in a shootout after their SUV was spotted, leaving a residence in nearby Redlands that police had been watching on a tip. Okay, cool. So they did the shooting. And this is also kind of unprecedented that you do a shooting and then run for it. I guess Aaron Roof kind of got away with that, and Black First Person Shooter Man got away with that. The guy that did it with a GoPro, or it wasn't a GoPro, the guy that did it with his iPhone, also recording the shooting, also kind of got away for a bit. Aaron Roof got away for a bit. How are you dumb enough to let them catch you again? So if you just did the biggest shooting in the country, at least in the last week, what do? You hop in your SUV and you go back home and you're like, guess they'll never guess to look here, even though I used my voice and they could tell my build. So here's the tip. And I'm going to be soon arrested for giving out tips. If you're going to do a shooting, you need to pad your suit, your body armor suit, so you look more muscular than you are. They're going to be like, oh, man, can't possibly have been of Eric Harris. That guy was way more muscular than him. Man, have you seen that kid's arms? How did he even hold a shotgun, right? Anyway, about this third suspect, so I was hearing that the third suspect was detained at the scene of the shooting, like the car shooting. So they chase this SUV, they crash into it, they shoot it up with 100,000 bullets, everyone dies, and then they have to bring it, they're too scared of explosives, so they bring in this little machine with a huge long hook, and they use the hook to open the door, and they use the hook to drag the people out of the car. Kind of sad. Anyway, then I heard that they saw a third suspect running from the scene of the shooting, and they detained him. Like, and they haven't said anything else other than that. They've been like, I don't know, we detained him, he might or may not be involved. So it could have easily been just a guy who was like, oh, a shooting? I'm running. And then he gets tackled by cops, detained, and like, what are you running from the scene for? He's like, there was a shooting. I don't know. So when this first happened yesterday, this is why it's hard to do news updates the day after, because we still have no information. We have no information. The day it happened, the news was saying, oh, witnesses said three people jumped into an SUV and drove off, and they're on the loose. And then we hear that two people got found in an SUV, and we don't know. Now the reports of there being three shooters originally seem to have just completely gone away. It says two perpetrators. I guess it doesn't necessarily say two perpetrators, but it's basically saying that two people went into the shooting, then that was it. So that is the update on the big shooting yesterday. Everyone happy about that? Not? I don't know. Southwest plane diverted as passengers act unruly. A Southwest Airlines flight from Indianapolis to Los Angeles was diverted to Kansas City on Sunday morning because of suspicious behavior by some passengers. We are characterizing the behavior as unruly, airport spokesman Joe McBride told CNN in a statement. Several passengers did not follow, quote, crew instruction upon takeoff and continued to exhibit suspicious behavior in flight. The passengers were taken off the plane and questioned by law enforcement, according to the FBI. All other passengers deplaned as police dogs searched the area as a safety measure. The passengers reboarded and flight, blah, 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 continued to Los Angeles. After questioning, three unruly passengers were rebooked on a later flight. That is the story. Let's see the video.
It's a city, so we just kind of went with it. I think people were calm. I mean, I'm sure people's heart rates ticked up a little bit just because of everything that's going on in the world. But, I was actually pretty impressed that the Southwest guys handled it and just got us there safely and did what they had to do to make sure we had a safe flight. We descended as if it was any other flight. So initially I just thought it may be a small mechanical issue. And then once we got there, police officers came on board and escorted three gentlemen off. And I think we're all just kind of like, oh, it wasn't a mechanical issue.
People were concerned, they were wondering what was going on, and then they were also concerned about, their connecting flights or whatever. And
wow, this is the dumbest story I've ever seen. Oh, you know what? Man, we were late to the airport, and we were pretty concerned about our connecting flights. Man, news.
If everything was going to be okay, and, it's always alarming when something like that.
Anyway, I put this on the list because it was so stupid. So three people were acting unruly. Remember that time I was on a flight and then there was that man that was in the bathroom and he didn't come out of the bathroom for several minutes, right? And they were like, excuse me, we need everybody in their seats so we can move the plane. Hello? And then he came out of the bathroom and he was an old white man. Now, what if he had been like a Muzz? Would they have been like, oh my goodness, he was in the bathroom for like 10 minutes. He must have been putting a bomb in the toilet. And he's like, I was. But not the kind you're thinking of. I'm like, oh no. Call the FB. the Facebook. Call the face. Man, why is the FBI always on Facebook? The Facebook investigators? No wonder. They're always arresting people for threats and stuff. So this week I've been doing some work at work. I need to evaluate the new employee, and by new I mean about 2 months old, right? Because she's been getting trained by this other girl. And so when I first, it's hard to explain. When I first take over, she was almost all set up on this print run. And just imagine a print press, and you've got a screen in front of you, and you've got four buttons, up, down, left, right, and that moves the position of the print. And you just need to align it with the cut of the label, right? Because you want it centered, you want the label cut, the end. So I'd watched her get set up, and I'd helped her a little bit, and she was almost completely set up. She just probably needed to move a little bit on the positioning. A couple clicks down, a couple clicks left, right? So I leave. I come back half an hour later. I go, how's it going? She's like, oh, it's going completely awful. None of the positioning is working at all. I'm like, what? That makes no sense. Like, it should be pretty easy. It's not rocket sci. It's basically like align the print game. Anyway, so I'm like, okay, tell me what you're doing. And so she takes the screen and she turns it 90 degrees. She doesn't turn the screen. How am I going to explain this? She doesn't turn the screen like you'd turn a piece of paper, like portrait to landscape, right? She pivots the screen on an arm, so that it's 90 degrees facing from where it was before. And she's basically standing at the side of the press rather than the front of the press. But that's, I mean, you get a view of the printing from that, so I understand. But anyway, she turns it 90 degrees, and then she starts pressing the up, down, left, right buttons in the direction she wants to go. But the screen obviously doesn't know it's been turned 90 degrees. It's still doing up, down, left, right, like it's facing straight on, not like it's turned 90 degrees. So she's pressing the exact wrong buttons. Been doing it for half an hour without asking for help. And again, she's been working there 2 months. And this is the first thing I evaluate of her. So that's cool. Then yesterday, so there's some key terms in labeling, right? Like three. Width, height, also known as along and across. Across and along. Yeah. Width would be across. Boop, boop, boop. Height would be along, like you're going up the strip of labels along it. Anyway, then there's also terms like repeat or gap or symbology or things like that. So anyway, I go, hey, you're trying to get your positioning right. Here's a tip. Just measure from that printed line between the labels to your gap. And she goes, oh, okay, wait, what do you mean by gap? And I'm like, oh, no. That'd be like a car mechanic going, what do you mean by rotor? Actually, I don't even know what a rotor is. Is there a rotor other than a brake? Like, if you say brake disc, oh my goodness. What am I, a bike? Anyway, and rotor, is that the same thing? That's like saying, what do you mean by lug nut? Oh, goodness. Okay, so that's cool. All right, what is next on the list of newsgrams? So after the Paris attacks, we had a whole lot of stuff going down. I don't remember last time we did a news with Nick. We had a big attack in Paris. 150-something people doomed and a bunch more injured, and it was just, they're like, oh, it was ISIS. Okay. So since then, it's been World War III, pretty much. We've been bombing ISIS left and right. This is from 2 days ago. U.S. military will deploy a new special operations force to Iraq to step up the fight against the Islamic State militants who are unleashing violence and are determined to hold territory they have seized in Iraq and Syria. The introduction of the assault force puts U.S. combat troops on the ground in a more permanent role in Iraq and Syria for the first time in a year plus fighting ISIS. It comes as Republicans have called for more U.S. boots on the ground while war-weary Americans stand divided about the prospect of greater military involvement. Great. So if you join the military, guess what? You're going back to Iraq, and this time it's not against Hitlizzle. It's against ISIS. So that's cool and terrible. British lawmakers vote to join strikes on ISIS. British lawmakers voted by a wide margin Wednesday to join the international campaign of airstrikes against the Islamic State militant group in Syria after Prime Minister David Cameron asserted that bombing the medieval monsters in their heartland would make Britain safer. Medieval monsters? That's kind of rude. The 397 to 223 vote of the House of Commons means Royal Air Force fighter jets already operating against ISIS in neighboring Iraq from the base of Cyprus could be flying over Syria within days or even hours. I don't get it. Why do we need other countries? Do we not have enough? Like, how many bombs could it possibly take? Maybe a lot. How many buildings have they? How do they get money? Like, if I'm like, man, I'd really like to start a terrorist organization. I guess drugs? I don't know. I don't even know how you get money to build these little compounds with weapons and that even have location to be bombed from. It seems like a very financially unstable, unsound plan. It's like, okay, guys, we're going to be building this business. There's going to be a lot of weapons, but half of you are going to be dead, and then there's a 50% chance every single day that the building will just be bombed and we won't even have a building anymore. So we're probably going to have to build new ones soon. Like, okay, I don't know. Let's see. The mood... Oh, sorry. Cameron has long wanted to target ISIS in Syria, but has been unsure of getting a majority support. The House of Commons, he suffered an embarrassing defeat in 2013 when lawmakers rejected a motion backing attacks on the forces of Syrian President Bashar Assad. The mood has changed following the November 13 Paris attacks, claimed by ISIS, that killed 130 people. Both France and the U.S. have urged Britain to join their air campaign. Hey, guys, come on. Everyone's doing it. Everyone's bombing ISIS. Let's go. Come on. Bring your bombs. Write on it like a little cute message that says, hey, message for ISIS. Airstrikes. He said Britain was already a top target for ISIS attacks, and airstrikes would reduce the group's ability to plan more Paris-style carnage. Hey, I don't know. I'm not a foreign policy investigator. Is bombing ISIS going to work? Probably. Like, if I'm a terrorist group and I keep getting bombed left and right, and the bombs are accurate and it's not actually on the next-door neighbor's Doctors Without Borders, because that would be hilarious to me if I'm a terrorist. I'm like, oh my god, guys, hey, Assad, Ahmad, Agood, Abid, look out the window. They missed. They're hitting the hospital. But yeah, I don't know. I guess you have to bomb them, right? It's like, okay, if the bombs are on point and you really know you're bombing terrorists, which I don't know how you get that information. Do you look at it from the sky? It's like, oh yeah. They do have the ISIS logo on the top of that house. I can't believe I didn't see that before. Kill him. This is all way too complicated. Can you believe that anyone can figure out what building's an ISIS building? How do they even know? Do they hire a Muslim man and be like, okay, you go there, you knock on the door, ask them if they're ISIS. If they are, radio back and then run for it because we're gonna bomb. Weird. I don't know. But I guess, again, if you're hitting them correctly and the bombs really are taking out some facilities that they use to plan and store weapons, I guess eventually that would hurt their chances of being able to continue. Freddie Gray. Don't know if you guys remember this. Prosecutors offered a detailed timeline Wednesday of Freddie Gray's long ride in a police van, telling a racially diverse jury that Officer William G. Porter was present five of the six.
Promise of the cloud is
don't
that every organization
it.
Has unlimited access to information, no matter where they are.
The Microsoft cloud gives our team...
I see what the problem is. Wait a minute. Did that just stop playing when I muted it? Let me find out.
The cloud...
Nope. I guess I'm going to have to get an ad block... Blizzle.
Murder, assault, misconduct. They are among the charges six Baltimore police officers face in the wake of Freddie Gray's death. Prior to the court issuing a gag order in the case, CNN confirmed key details about the defense's strategy.
Okay, so this is the guy who got arrested, got put in the back of a police van. They drove him to the station, and then he was dead. And everyone's like, what the heck happened? He was fine when he got in. He's not fine when he got out. Officer, what happened? And the officer's like, I was just driving. I didn't do anything.
The defense for the officers that are going to be related to what happened in the van.
The van and that 40-minute ride Gray took after his arrest. The defense tells CNN it will contend Freddie Gray's death was tragic, but an accident. That it was Gray himself who, handcuffed and shackled, struggled to his knees when the transport vehicle came to a...
So they have a little image here for people not watching the video version. They have a little graphic here that someone has programmed. That they've drawn a black man in the back of a van with his hands behind his back. And he's kneeling basically in the back of a metal van.
Normal stop. Gray lost his balance, pitched forward, falling with all his weight, causing the injuries that eventually killed him. D- Defense medical experts expected to testify and hammer away at the Baltimore Medical Examiner's finding of homicide as the cause of death. Andrew Alperstein has represented Baltimore police officers and knows the defense attorneys involved.
They're going to argue exactly that, that this was a normal stop, or maybe he just fell down on his own while the vehicle was moving.
But different officers face different charges. First to face trial, William.
There's going to be six officers on trial for this.
Porter, 25 years old, on the force since 2012, charged with involuntary manslaughter, second-degree assault, misconduct, and reckless endangerment. He made statements potentially incriminating other officers. He told the van's driver, Caesar Goodson, who faces the most serious charge of second-degree murder, that Gray might need medical attention. The key question, did Porter ignore Gray's life-threatening injury?
Proving that an officer had a duty to do something and he didn't do it, and that there were consequences to his lack of performing that duty.
Look at this man's bow tie. What is going on? I'm a old man that likes to make comments, and I've got a bow tie. And one side is way bigger than the other.
Duty is classic malfeasance in office.
All six officers face misconduct charges, three of them facing reckless endangerment for failing to seatbelt Gray. Defense lawyers say that may be a policy violation, but criminal?
If you have an accident and somebody dies for not wearing a seatbelt, is that going to rise the level of manslaughter or murder?
I don't know. So the point is, I don't know. I don't know what the point is. If you're, say you're a cop, right? And you've got this idiot black in the back of your, and those two words are not synonymous. That's not what I'm saying. I don't think. Anyway. You've got this idiot criminal in the back of your van. He's like, I'm injured. Oh. And then what if every time a criminal was like, I'm injured, we have to stop. You had to stop and like call 911, have an ambulance come out, waste resources. They look at his brain and they go, he's not injured. They drive for 10 more minutes. He's like, I'm injured again. They have to do it again. Like, so yeah. He reported he was injured, right? And this time he was right, probably. And they ignored it. And now they're in trouble for having ignored that. But, like, how are you supposed to know?
Trials aside, Freddie Gray's death has already changed Baltimore.
It's made us ask some questions that we haven't asked in years. And that is, how could this be?
A city...
How could what be? How could a black man die in the back of a van?
Outraged by the death of a young man, will anyone be satisfied these trials will deliver justice?
Porter, 26, is accused of failing to summon medics. When the injured prisoner asked for help, he also allegedly failed to secure the 25-year-old man properly in the back of the van. So that's probably a good point. If your policy is to put on a seatbelt, and that's the procedure, you need to have a checklist in the front of the van. And it's like, before you can drive, check off the list. Is the prisoner strapped in? Yes. Is the prisoner breathing? Yes. Does the prisoner have massive head injuries? No. And then you can leave. But my experience with the workforce is nobody follows procedures and everyone's just making it up on the spot anyway. This cop probably didn't even know how to be a cop and he's finally been caught for not having known because a man bashed his head into the floor. Funny, everyone, right? All right, we are going to take a quick break. 6:37 coming at you live. And then we will be right back with some new and cool. I don't know what I'm saying. I'll be right back. Boop! Okay, we are back. Last 15, 20 minutes of news with Nick coming at you. He's got some more coffee. It is mostly cream because I accidentally poured way too much cream in, and the coffee was already kind of weak. So... that's disgusting. I can't. I don't know. Maybe I can. It's kind of just like warm milk now with a hint of little coffee flavoring in it. Ooh. I am going to throw up. Anyway. I'm going to turn down. Hello. Yeah, I'm going to turn down this recording level a little bit. Maybe. Check, 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 check. Sorry about that. Okay, that was inappropriate. We should never have to do this in a live setting. We should never have to be doing sound checks, but this is kind of the way things work. nothing ever works correctly. Okay. Next topic, Donald Trump, folks. It's getting good. It's getting good. I'm going to just Google Donald Trump and see what the latest is on him. Donald Trump to prominent conspiracy theorist. Your reputation is amazing. I will not let you down, he told Alex Jones during an interview. You'll be very, very impressed. Okay, this is going to be impossible to watch because it's half an hour. But apparently, Alex Jones has done a half-hour interview with Donald Trump. With Alex Jones, a radio host and conspiracy theorist who believes that moon landing was faked and that the U.S. government was behind 9/11. Blah, blah, blah. Before we delve into the actual meat of the interview, let's breathe through the greatest hits of Jones' claim. Okay, no, let's not. I don't care about talking about Alex Jones. CNN has an opinion piece called Dear Donald, even though some say Hillary Clinton would benefit if you were the GOP nominee, for the good of the country, I want you to get out of the race. Your lies and vitriolic rhetoric are causing irreparable damage to the nation. What's the difference between irreparable and irreparable? What's the difference between irreparable and irreparable? Let me look up irreparable, because it's not spelled with an I, like the word repair would be. Irreparable, impossible to rectify or repair. Okay, so whoever made up that word forgot an I, because it should have been irreparable. But they say, irreparable, I don't know. But that's the word. In Leadership Challenge, a best-selling tome on leadership, 89% of people across the globe identify honesty as the most important characteristic of a leader. It seems counterintuitive, then, that despite spewing lies every week and managing to offend people of every race, creed, and color, you have still managed to sit atop the Republican presidential candidate polls for 5 months. In Trump world, you can fabricate historical events to falsely embellish your golf course, or worse, spread lies about a non-existent video that you claim showed thousands of Muslims celebrating in New Jersey after the Twin Towers fell. So this has been the controversy recently where Trump said, like, okay, I saw this video about Muslims celebrating in New Jersey while they watched the Twin Towers fall across the river. And people are like, that never happened. He's like, nope, I'm right. It definitely happened. It'd be one thing if your lies were careless or unintentional missteps, which he has to say, because all other politicians, if they lie and they got caught in a lie, they go, whoops, I just made an unintentional misstep. You know, like Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan's worst lie, marathon time. Look it up. Yeah, I think I did a marathon in about 20 minutes. Turns out it was 4 hours. Instead, you refuse to acknowledge reality and choose to double and triple down on your lies. Yeah, he's like, you think that the Muslim thing didn't happen? Oh, it did happen, and I'm doubling down. It's as if you believe you're above the truth, that whatever you believe is fact, and whoever confronts you is unfairly attacking you. Your lies have led the media to declare you in a league of your own when it comes to making claims. I don't know. So this guy hates Trump. Trump is still leading. And let's see what this video says. I have no clue.
He hasn't hit me yet. He will. At some point, Rubio's got to hit me.
Bravado from the Republican frontrunner. Exactly 2 months before the Iowa caucuses kick off the 2016 campaign.
Even I think Cruz is going to have to hit me because, you know, he's a nice guy.
After defending Trump...
He's got no clue what's going on. He is always just making speeches, and he's just talking about everyone else. He's like, you know, I think Jeb Bush has been mean to me. Cruz hasn't been mean to me yet, but he will be mean to me soon. He very rarely talks about any issues. I mean, he did come out with a tax plan, and he has talked about the wall on the border, and he has talked about the refugees. But for the most part, he's just like, you know, I'm doing pretty good in the polls, and these guys aren't doing so good in the polls. So vote for me, I guess, because I'm a good poll goer. Anyway, so he was talking about the New Jersey protest that I mentioned, and he got in a lot of trouble for allegedly making fun of a man who has a little bit of a disability on his hand. So what happens is Trump's talking about this, and he makes...
By the way, this was...
He basically acts like, you remember that kid from Wheel of Fortune? Who was like, spinning! That's my favorite kid ever. Anyway, when he freaks out and it gets all excited, that's how Trump acts. Ooh! All right, let's watch it.
Right after September 11th. This was September 18th. And right after, sort of an amazing thing, right after a couple of good paragraphs, it's talking about Northern New Jersey draws the prober's eye, written by a nice reporter. Now the poor guy, you got to see this guy. Oh,
here it is. Now the reporter, you got to see this guy.
Written by a nice reporter. Now the poor guy, you got to see this guy. Oh, I don't know what I said. Oh, I don't remember.
He's going, oh, I don't know what I said. I don't know. And he's waving his arms like a man playing Wheel of Fortune.
Nice reporter. Now the poor guy, you got to see this guy. Oh, I don't know what I said. Oh, I don't remember. He's going like, I don't remember. Maybe that's what I said. This is 14 years ago. They didn't do a retraction. 14 years ago, they did no retract.
So that couple seconds of him going, oh, I don't know what I said, really kicked off a firestorm, because apparently the guy that he's talking about has a messed up hand, and it looks like this. And then they froze frame where Donald Trump actually has his hand in the exact position, right? But it's not like Donald Trump is doing that the entire time. He's doing the clip. We'll watch it one more time. I know this is stupid for audio graphs. Listeners.
It's the prober's eye. The poor guy, you got to see this guy. Oh, I don't know what I said.
He is kind of doing it the whole time. Anyway, he's waving his arm up and down.
I don't remember. He's going like, I don't remember.
Yeah, he is kind of doing it the whole time. Anyway, so Trump says, oh, I don't know. I had no clue that the guy's arm was retarded. I just was acting like someone who was flailing and not really sure what's going on. And the reporter says, no, I've met Donald Trump several times. He knows who I am. And Donald Trump is like, well, if I've met him, I don't remember at all. So sorry, he's a loser. And I want to cut off his hand. He didn't say that. But so that was a big deal. Thought everyone would want to see that. Let's see, what else is in the news? Did you guys hear about the Mad Descent cruise? I don't even know who Mad Descent is. Diplo's label Mad Descent. So it's apparently a famous band or something. U.S. Coast Guard has suspended its search for Kaylin Rose Sommer Saturday morning, where all sons and daughters and many of our responders have young children themselves. What? Suspending search efforts is always a painful decision. So anyway, the Mad Descent boat party has cut its 5-day trip short following an incident Thursday night when a woman intentionally jumped overboard. The cruise was on its way from Miami to Mexico when the woman jumped off the ship on Friday morning. The ship's captain alerted passengers that the boat was turning around and heading back to Miami. So here's what the website looks like for the Mad Descent party boat. All guests will receive round-trip cruise from Miami to Playa Mi Grande Beach and Water Park in Cozumel, Mexico, for our own private beach party and shows with your favorite artists. Wow. That looks high tech. So anyway, it got canceled because someone jumped overboard, so they went back. And then passengers on the Mad Descent boat party had their trip altered when a woman jumped overboard last week, and now many of them are saying the cruise company is ripping them off. So they're like, well, I'm sorry that someone jumped overboard, but I did pay thousands of dollars to go to this show, so can I have my money back? Most of the EDM lovers paid on average of $1,000 for a ticket, but Norwegian Cruise Line and festival organizers promised refunds. Due to the tragedy, several DJs were nixed, as well as the offshore excursion planned for Mexico. Only problem is the refund was about $57.47. According to passengers, festival and cruise reps tell us it's simple math. $57.47 is the cost of the canceled excursion plus port taxes. Everything else is non-refundable. They're like, well, the cruise still happened. You still got to go on the boat for $1,000. That add-on, that was only a $50 add-on anyway, and we just canceled it. Some angry guests have taken to social media to demand way more, despite the fact that they still got a 4-day vacation at sea. Well, 4-day, I don't know. I don't think a 4-day vacation at sea is worth $1,000. As for the lost woman, one passenger said, "I'm sorry about that one girl, but there are thousands of us who don't need to be punished. We didn't get to Mexico or most of what we were promised." So, I don't know. If you're going to jump over after the concert, I guess, is the key. A moment of silence. A moment of silence at a soccer game has gone into dispute on social media as video of that moment has gone viral just before Turkey's match in Istanbul between, just before Tuesday's match in Istanbul between Turkey and Greece. A moment of silence was observed for 129 people from the Paris attacks, but listening to the video, you can pick up on the fact that it's anything but silent. Let's listen to the video. It's hard to hear what's happening in the video, but according to reports, some fans from Turkey's team booed, hissed, and chanted phrases such as "Allahu Akbar." Wow. So they were like, "Let's do a moment of silence." And everyone was like, "Nope. Muslims." Weird, right? Does Turkey hate France? Is that, are they, I don't know. Are they like, enemies? Anyway, so right after the Paris attacks, I don't know, so Smite, this game I play sometimes, has skins in it, and one of the skins is the Paris Athena. So they're like, okay, in memory of Paris attacks, the Paris Athena is now free. The Paris Athena skin is now free. And everyone was like, what? I paid like $30 for that. And now it's free for everyone. So everyone's mad. Except not everyone. Most people are like, wow, that's really nice. I got a free skin thanks to a shooting. And other people are like, no, I paid a bunch for that. That's not fair. And they don't get upvoted at all. Because they're like, what? How petty can you be? A bunch of people died. And all you care about is your stupid skin. And then I go, I think this is the funniest joke, but I always get downvoted for it. I'd go, well, if they really care about the Paris attacks, they would just take ISIS out of the game. You know, the god ISIS, I think she's Egyptian, is in the game. And I'm like, well, if they really want it to be, you know, touching, they just not let you play as ISIS anymore, because that's pretty inappropriate to be able to play as ISIS when a bunch of people have died. All right, let's see what's at the top of the uplifting news stream. Let's see. Woman shoplifts ingredients to make a birthday cake for her son. This is in the uplifting news. Oh, it's from New Hampshire. A New Hampshire police officer who responded to a shoplifting incident didn't make an arrest, but instead paid the thief's tab after learning the woman stole the items to bake her child's birthday cake. Officer Michael Corfiatis. What? No, Officer Michael Consonis responded to a call last week at the Ocean State job lots after a woman had stolen cake mix, shortening, and a couple things of frosting. After learning the woman's identity, he went to her home to discover the items. It was there that he found that the woman was a mother who wanted to bake her child a birthday cake. Ooh, I wonder how skinny she was, is what I meant to say. He says the mother's actions weren't right, but I'm not going to take away a kid's birthday cake. He went back to the store and bought the items, and the woman wasn't charged. A store employee reported his gesture to the newspaper. And the acting deputy police chief said he wouldn't have known about it either if not for the reporter's call. I didn't do it for attention, the officer said. What you do when no one's looking, that's the character of someone. It is? That's not good. Anyway, thanks for headed out to the news with Nick. It's coming up on 7 a.m., so we're going to end today, unless I check my notes and I realize that I forgot something. Oh! Guess what happened, guys? I forgot something. I didn't scroll down. Okay, we got to cover this story real quick. Because I've been following it, and I haven't been telling anyone. How do I start at the beginning? Timothy, the man's name is, well, let's talk about the girl. The married father of five arrested over the death of a seven-year-old, Gabriella Doolin, claims evidence police found connecting him to the murder is not what it seems. Timothy Madden, 38, was detained on Friday after three or four interviews with police during which they allegedly found blood on his clothes. However, in his first public interview since his arrest, Madden told the news station that blood brushed onto him when he walked past a fence. But then he later said the blood came from brushing past a trash can. Madden also accused neighbors in Scottsville, Kentucky of reporting him to police because they believed local gossip. It's all bogus. I'm an innocent man. They can ask anybody that knows me. He said in a nine-minute interview. I was going to say 1 minute interview. That was it's like, all right, 1 minute interview, go. Okay. Gabriella was found dead in a creek during a football game last Saturday. She was reported missing around 7:40 p.m. by her mother. While they're at the football game, the search began and her body was found about 25 minutes later in a creek in a wooded area. Timothy Madden, whose children are aged from 4 months to 20 years old, was taken into custody in the case, charged with murder, kidnapping, first-degree rape, and first-degree sodomy. Gross. He attended the high school with Gabriella's father, Brian Doolin, who is the same age as the suspect. Madden's son was playing in the football game when Gabriella disappeared. So, what they're saying is that a man, and I'm not saying who's right or who's wrong, but what I'm saying is that a man went to a football game with his friend to watch his son play football. During the football game, he decides, you know, I'd really like to kill and rape my friend's daughter during the game. So I'm going to be like, hey, want to go get a hot dog, little girl? Little girl? And then he gives her a hot dog. Oh, that's inappropriate. Anyway, he insists he does not know what concrete evidence police could have connected him to the crime. So either he did it and he's like, I have no clue how the heck they figured it out, or he didn't do it and they're like, why are you saying I did it? Because this is all I've read. All I've heard, they said they had questioned you at all before your arrest. He said, yeah, several times. They interrogated me like three or four times. Polygraph. I give him my clothes that night. I think, yeah, they did mention I had blood on my clothes or something, but because I rubbed against a fence, like I said, rubbed against a trash can. Okay. He rubbed against a fence and rubbed against a trash can and got blood on his clothes. That's the only thing I know where I'd get blood from, but it wasn't me. Asked to give his version of the events, Madden said, last time I seen her, I was sitting on this. This is not poorly written. This is verbatim what he said. Last time I seen her, I was sitting on the side of the, they cut it and say inaudible, like I always watching me smoking a cigarette, and she walked by, taunting me with her little butt. No, he didn't say that. And the other two girls came a crow. They were there first, I don't know, a minute before, and then she came over and looking around, and I said, well, they went that way, and that was the last time I saw her. He added, she came in front of the bleachers, in the back of the bleachers, and that's all I know. It wasn't for another 45 minutes that people began searching for her.
What do you have to say about the charges you're facing?
It's
oopsies.
Anybody that knows me.
Why did they connect you to this murder?
Small town gossip. They said I fit the suspect.
Do you know what that was?
6 foot tall, brown coat, long beard. Pretty much that's all I knew about it. But then I knew they found the little girl's body later on that night and then locked the ball game down.
Do you know the Doolin family?
Yes. I know, I went to school with him.
Okay, he's clearly retarded. So either he did it or they're really picking on a retarded man in order to find a murderer. But if that's all the evidence they have, they're like, oh man, there was a girl that got murdered and also there's blood on his shirt. They must have other evidence, right? And they're just not saying it because it's not at trial yet. I have no clue. This is a very weird story. And here's the other thing about it. So then later on, his son gets arrested, right? So I need to pull this up. Anyway, first of all, the latest news of this is hearing rescheduled for man accused of the murder of a 7-year-old. The man accused of blah, blah, blah. His attorney said he received a report from the prosecution that he had not had a chance to review, and he asked to waive the preliminary hearing until he could meet with his client to review the evidence. So it looks like there's more evidence that we don't know about yet, but that hearing is put off. And then his son gets arrested. son of man charged in girl's death has been arrested. Bradley Manning, 20, allegedly warned Scottsville, Kentucky police that he was coming for him. among the private messages he sent to the department's Facebook page. So he went on Facebook and he wrote a bunch of things that said basically, like, you got the wrong man, I'm coming for you, I'm going to kill you. And the cop said, we understand you're going through a lot, but this is over the line. And they went and arrested him just for sending messages on Facebook. I don't even have the messages, it doesn't look like. Let's see if I can find them. Oh, here it is. You got the wrong man, you sick F. You have to be missing. So either try harder, please. Don't give up. If you book my dad in and he does life, you will do life watching your back. He also allegedly sent another private message. Go do, D-U, your jobs correctly, F-er maybe. You know who I talking about. It is a setup from hell. When he gets out, best believe you will be sued for slander, his privacy right, and false arrest, and y'all will go to hell for this. So, I don't know. I guess it's really sad. Can a retarded father of five go kill a 7-year-old during a football game? Why would you do that? Doesn't make any sense, but it also doesn't make sense why he's Southern. So, who knows? Nothing really makes sense. This has been News with Nick. We will catch up with this story when we have new information. Thanks for coming out. And we're going to have to YouTube some news closing music so that we know how to close the show. Music. Well, here it is. The Fallout 3 ending music. Thanks for coming at your News with Nick.